Hello everyone, Joe Steinkamp back again with more SBN convention coverage, this time with our traditional look at the Assistive Technology Trainers Division meeting. I am Vice President of the Assistive Technology Trainers Division, and the board has allowed me to broadcast some of this wonderful audio again this year. And I think this one is really going to be interesting for those of you who are working in facility-based training facilities, or if you want to know what it's like to work in a facility-based training facility. Up front is going to be Dolphin Computer Access. Jeff Baser is going to tell us about some of the tools that could be used, like Dolphin Guide and some of the Easy Creator Suite, which I used when I was in state services to make all things in the alternative format, and you can find that over at the Dolphin site. After that, we're going to have a smattering of the panel led by Jenny Lineback, who is treasurer of the division, and she takes us on a little bit of a conversation of what facility-based trainers are running into today, and I think that's really interesting. Now, that's only a portion of the audio. The whole audio is available from the NFB Trainers Division, and you can find links to how to get to there from the show notes, or you could go to NFB and look there, or go into Google and type in Assistive Technology Trainers Division National Federation of the Blind, and that'll take you to the mailing list and other links. And there you will find the entire audio, which is about 3 hours in length, and some of our other audios that we've had from the past Trainer Division meetings, like last year's wonderful talk with Kathy Ann Murtha and John Panarese of Mac Training for the Blind and some others. But on this particular one, JJ, who you know from that Android show, talked about the accessibility of Google Docs, and there's an extended version of the panel that you are only going to hear a portion of here on SBN. So without any further ado, I am President Pro Tem this night, so that's why I'm actually doing the introductions here. But take a listen to these wonderful audios from NFB 2014. Jeff Baser is someone who I've known for a very long time through many employers that I won't go through here, including McDonald's. No, I'm kidding. Don't ask him what fries or any combo meals he might be able to answer. Jeff has been with Dolphin now for how many years, Jeff?
5 years,
wow. So Dolphin, if you're not familiar with Dolphin Computer Access, they are makers of products you might have heard called HAL and Lunar, but now Supernova, or Dolphin Guide. We asked Jeff to come here tonight because many of you might not be aware of some of the products that Dolphin makes, and especially in the case of Dolphin Guide or in some of their alternative text formats in the areas of creator and producer, it might help you in some of your centers be able to produce one document in multiple formats, which we think would be very helpful when working on training materials for a large group or audience. So Jeff, take it away, and thank you for coming.
Well, Joe, thank you very much. It's great to be here, guys. Thanks for letting me come on up and talk to you guys. I know I met some of you at Newsline last night, so hopefully, since you heard me there a little bit, and that was a quick demo, so this will be a little more in-depth, but I hope nobody's walking out of the room that, Jeff Baser's on a ground. Anyway, good to be here. We are in booth C31 over in the exhibit hall. We're sharing with Irie AT, so if you want to come over and learn any more about what I'm talking about tonight or have more questions, please feel free. And I've got contact information there that I can give you with cards. I can do that here too, but you know, we can talk more at that point. So I want to go fairly quickly because I do want to show you a lot of things. I'm going to start with Guide, then I'm going to move into Supernova briefly, just to touch on some new things there, and then I do want to show you Easy Converter as well, because just like Joe said, I know a number of you train at centers, and I want to make sure that you know what we've got and how we can help. The other thing regarding training for any of our Dolphin products, if you feel that this could be something you want to train on or learn more about from a trainer standpoint, we're definitely willing to provide an offer resale copy for you at no charge. So if that would help, let us know. We have several of those out to folks already. When we're talking about multiple licenses for centers or lighthouses, we can work a quote that is in the budget friendly for that as well. Our main focus is that we want our software in as many hands as possible, if you will, show it to folks and train on it. Because as you might know, most of you probably, Dolphin is a UK-based company. They're based in Worcester, England, which is to the north of London, about 120 miles or so, near Birmingham. I've been there one time. A nice facility over there. good folks to work there. There's about 60 to 70 folks there. I'm the U.S. sales manager here. We've got four folks in the United States. Great support staff from Gareth and his folks up in Princeton, New Jersey. And that's where our administration and shipping and that kind of stuff takes place too. So we have a, you know, kind of a small presence here in the U.S., you know, on certain product lines. Now, Guide is really our flagship here in this country. Huge in the VA. That contract that has not come to fruition yet with the VA, but the one that was out there for a while and where they projected products, there was 955 copies of Guide on that contract. So that's well, and folks in the VA do. And I think the reason really is the simplicity of use. The real beauty of Guide is we call it simple talking computing. And that's what it is, and I'll show you what we've done here with that in just a second. And that's where we'll start. And like I said, we'll move through Supernova at that point and then to Easy Converter. What I want to mention briefly is the new things that we've got in both Guide and Supernova, and I'll go through those as part of the demo. But what we've done is created something called Dolphin Bookshelf. And what this premise is bringing content, rounding up content providers like Bookshare, NFB Newsline, NLS, down the road a little bit. We don't have that yet, but by the end of the year, we hope that we will. So that you can use these services and access this content from the friendly confines of our Dolphin programs. So this works in Guide, it works in Supernova, and so we can access, you know, Newsline, for example, and read newspapers right from the program. If you don't want to do it on your computer, we can transfer it onto a mobile device with just a couple of clicks and very easy steps. So we've worked on this for quite a while and made it pretty easy to do. And our first iteration of it is available now in Guide and Supernova. The other thing we've introduced in these last versions of Guide, which just came out in Supernova about a month ago, is touchscreen access for the first time. So we have that in Guide, we have it in Supernova. On the magnification side, we don't have it for screen reading yet, but it is on the mag side. And I'll show that to you briefly, too. I want to start by going back a version in Guide, because in Guide 8, one of the big things we really enhanced was the web browser. And previous to Guide 8, using the web was not necessarily a fun experience. It worked, but it was not up to today's standards by far. And now we believe we've got this to you, how you access the web using, you know, Internet Explorer, Firefox, that kind of thing. Loads as fast, works the same, and so we're happy about that, proud of it, and I'm going to show you briefly how that works. So, just a brief intro on Guide. This is an idea of simple access to your computer. People who may be a little intimidated by Windows keystrokes, all that you have to remember in using Windows programs, or using a screen reader. Maybe they got training on the screen reader and it just didn't sink in, or, you know, it was too much for whatever reason. Guide is completely different. It's all menu-driven. You make your selections from a menu, and that's how it works. And we have about 27 of the most popular applications built into this program. So we don't use Internet Explorer. We don't use Microsoft Word or Outlook. We use our own Guide web browser, our own Guide email program, and our own Guide word processor. And that's how it works. So if I move down the screen now, and I will just give you a quick demo of how this works, we really have four keystrokes that you need to know. That's it. Four, we say, to get started. And that is your up and down arrow keys to move through the menus, enter to make your selections, and escape to go back. In other words, up a level in the menus. Once you know that, you can use this program. Now, clearly, if you need to type an email or you know, type a website, I mean, that's different. But introing and using this program, that's what we're talking about. So let's start at the top.
Press 1 to send and receive emails. Press 2 to write letters and other documents. Press 3 to access a website. Press 4 to scan and read a book, magazine, letter, or printed page. Press 5 to find someone's address or telephone number in your address book.
So you get the idea quickly of what we're doing here. These are the ways that you can move through this in the programs, or the apps, if you will, that we've got on our main menu. Let's go look at the web.
Press 3 to access a website.
And by the way, when you know these numbers, you're a little more familiar with them, you can press the number from anywhere you are on the menu. Or, if you want to, you can just move up and down the screen like I just did using your arrow keys. So let me press enter.
3. Web browser menu. Press 1 to use the full web browser. Press 2 to log into your NLS BART account. Press escape to go back to the main menu.
Is that too fast for anybody? Do I need to slow that down? No? Okay. I didn't think so, but I just want to make sure. Incidentally, before we move on, to speed up or slow down speech, there's one keystroke. It's F11 to do that. Control F11, slow it down. And that cycles around, by the way, too. So if you keep pressing F11, you're eventually going to get quite fast and then slow, finally. And F12 works for magnification, the same way. We zoom way up, and then we start at the bottom again and go up. And we can change mag for all the menus, but just one keystroke. So you heard, press 2.
Press 1 to use the press 2 to log into your NLS BART account.
I'm not going to do that now, but I want to just tell you we've got it here. This will log you into the BART site. You put your credentials in for the first time, and then that's it. Every time you come back, it uses your account, you log into BART, and away you go on the web. And as we know, the BARD site is pretty accessible, so it works beautifully with Guide. You can download your books and then transfer them off to another device. Of course, we can't play the books here.
Press 1 to use...
Let's go to the full web browser quickly. So I pressed 1, and we're loading up now.
Home page. Loading. Please, page loaded. Dolphin Guide home page. Use the up and down arrow keys to explore the page. Press escape to go back to the address box. Welcome to the web with Dolphin Guide. This is a Dolphin web page with some handy tips to help you get started on the web with Guide. You can move around web pages the same way as you move around your Guide menus.
Okay. So this is basically an idea of how you use the web with Guide. So you're really, with this, going to get all kinds of help, probably more than any of you in here would need. But from a training standpoint, showing somebody how to use the computer and getting them comfortable with it, this is phenomenal. So that's at the top. And I can press H now for headings to move down here because I want to show you what's at the bottom of this.
Accessible video player controls.
That's an introductory video for Guide. I'm going to play that here in just a second, just briefly, not the whole thing, but I just want to show you.
Popular websites to get you started.
At the bottom of the page, we've got several websites you can link to from right here in various categories to get you started. And if I tab through some of these, just so you know.
Consumer Reports, CNET, link, Amazon, link, Walmart, link, press enter to select. Home Depot, link, press enter to select.
So we've got shopping.
TripAdvisor.
We have travel with TripAdvisor, Orbitz.
CNN, link, press enter to select.
News with CNN.
Fox News.
Fox News. So all kinds of popular things and so on. We go down, we get to Facebook and Twitter and other things on social media. But just a convenience thing, it's built in here to link to. So a good place to start from a training standpoint, to show somebody how to use the web with Guide, and then branch off from here. A couple of things just to let you know about the browser quickly. I told you that we press escape to get back to the previous level of the menus, except on the browser. There's an exception all the time, isn't there? But that's really true, except on the browser. And the reason is for that, because when we press escape here, we go to the
address box, www.yourdolphin.com.
So it's reading the address. The reason we do this is because there's several commands we can type in from our address box. One of them that's important is options. Because if we do that, we get several options that are available on our web page, like listing links, lots of other things. Turning mobile sites on and off. So if we need to go to the mobile site, there's a setting in here to be able to do that. Everything having to do with the web page. If we type options in there. Other things we can do here, of course, we can type in the web address that we want as far as going to any address. But another thing is, if we type just some general search terms, we're automatically, without going to Google at all, going to go out and do a Google search for those. And it's going to come up on, you know, the accessible Google page, so we can use headings to be able to move through our search results. So if I do that real fast, I'm just going to type Orlando weather. How about we do that?
Orlando, Spain.
I typed quicker than it came up. I didn't type R, but here we go. I press enter.
Loading. Please wait.
Joe, what happened to our writing anything.
Check it, I was actually
Page loading Orlando weather Google search.
There we go. You know how it is, sometimes a little slow. So we've got now a page, just like if you went to Google or Bing or wherever, and you got it. Actually, we use Google here. If you want to change the search engine, you can. So if I do an H with headings.
Search options. Weather for Orlando. Orlando weather forecasting conditions. Weather.com. 10-day forecast for Orlando.
Okay. So that's how that works. Pretty convenient, though, because we avoid the step of going to Google. Or any search engine that you want to choose, you can do that. There's other things we can do from our web address bar as well. If you want links, you can type in links, and it'll bring up all the links on the page, and then of course you can narrow down to the one you want, press enter, similar to a links list in other screen readers. But that's how the web works, and it works really well. I think most of you to try this would be pretty impressed on the ease of loading pages and then able to move around. Very similar to other screen readers out there, magnifiers. So I'm just going to close this now, and there's several ways to do this. Some of you might know these. If I go to the address bar, I can type exit, close, or quit. They all work. I can also press Alt F4, and that'll close the guide web browser as well. And that's probably what I'll do now, since that's easy, hit Alt F4.
Main menu. Press 1 to send and receive emails. Press 2 to write letters and other documents.
All right, we're on the main menu again now. This might be a good time to show you our touchscreen capability. This is going to be quick, but let me just tell you, what we've done in Guide, and really we've done this in Supernova as well, is trying to keep it as simple as we can, but allow you to utilize this if you want to. So what I can do in Guide is take one finger and begin to move it down the screen. I can be anywhere on the screen to do this, and I will move through.
Press 3, press 4, press 5 to find, press 6 to play an audio music CD, press 7 to look at your calendar or center, press 8 to read, press 9 for more menu options, including the calculator, dictionary, magnifier, and photocopier.
I can just move my finger back up.
Press 8 to read books or news articles. 8. Books and news menu. Press.
I double tapped there, just like you would do on the iPhone, really, except we have it set up a little slower. We actually did research on this to figure out, for a Guide user, how quick are they going to double tap this screen? And you notice, well, we noticed that it was not a tap tap. It wasn't real quick. It was more like a tap tap. So we were able to slow that down, and that's the way it worked. So I just hit that to go into our books menu here. If I want to move back, though, rather than hitting escape, I can take my one finger once again and just whoosh in from the right side of the screen. Maybe I went to sleep.
Press 1 to access.
Our first iteration, remember I told you?
Escape. Main menu.
And you hear little noises for each one of those things, so that'll escape. So it tells you everything that you're doing. Now, other things here, we've got a bar on the bottom of the screen where we can change our magnification level, we can turn speech on and off, we can, there's our check button down there, which it acts like an enter or a select button if you don't want to double tap, and then we have our escape, to go back as well. You can touch all of those things. Pretty nice and pretty simple. We have that built in here. Let me now move into the bookshelf because I want to show you guys how this is working. As I mentioned, we've got an NFB Newsline as part of this, and I just want to show you how this works. So if I press number 8.
8. Books and news menu. Press 1 to access your bookshelf. Press 2 to read news from an RSS internet news feed. Press escape to go back to the main menu.
Okay, so we can do a few things there. I want number 1 to access the bookshelf, so I press 1.
1. Bookshelf menu. Press 1 to continue reading a book. Press 2 to view a list of your books. Press 3 to access online libraries.
Let's go to number 3. Online libraries.
3. Online libraries.
All right, now we have several choices in here. First is
Bookshare, EPUB Books, Project Gutenberg, and NFB Newsline.
And here's Newsline. If I press enter on Newsline, we're going to bring it up. We're logging in right now.
Login successful. And NFB Newsline. Press.
So there we go. So notice that I didn't have to type my 6-digit code in there and then my 4-digit passcode because I've done that already for the first time. So when I come back, it automatically knows it's me. and it logs me in, and we're here successfully. So here's what we have on Newsline.
Press 1 to go to NFB Newsline. Press 2 to read information about NFB Newsline.
Okay, let me hit 1.
Press 1. Categories, currently selected all.
Okay.
Breaking news online. International. Magazines. National meetings of interest to the print disabled. National newspapers. Spanish language content. Browse by state. Back.
Okay. You notice the TV listings aren't in there yet, but we have pretty much all of the rest. Now, the beauty of this is, remember, we haven't left Guide. So for somebody who is used to using Guide, pretty easy to get to this point. And this is great because we can just bring so much more content now for the user without having to leave this, without having to go to the website, without having to pick up the phone, without even having to use your app on the phone. Now, granted, those are great ways to use Newsline too, but here's another one for a Guide user.
National newspapers.
Let me go to National newspapers. I'm just going to download and show you how this works quickly.
Stars and Stripes. Well, back. Wall Street Journal.
How about the Wall Street Journal? Should we do that?
Wall Street Journal. Currently selected Wall Street Journal 2014-0703.
All right, so that's today's version. That's what we want.
Enter. Book options. Press 1 to download this book.
Hey, that's what we want. Enter.
1. Wall Street Journal. Currently selected Wall Street Journal 2014-0703.
Cued. Nice British term. It's waiting for download right now, so we should be downloading this at the moment. Usually,
Wall Street Journal 2014-0703 download has completed.
Okay. So if you're on a broadband connection, I mean, as you guys know, if you've seen this before, this takes seconds. And it's done.
Enter.
I'm just opening the
2014-07-03.
It starts at the top, and what we can do in this first go-around of Newsline implementation and Guide is we can move by heading through each article. Just like we're on a web page, so if I press H for heading,
business.
There's our business category, and here's our articles.
Bosch and Lomb recalls about 850,000 tubes of equipment.
Ew.
Ooh. Wow.
Well, oh. There's some new members coming to our organization.
Oh, right. See? I knew this was a relevant story for what we need here. Let's press H again.
Sopragel, Citroen, Hashtub, and Gary Pergel leads supervisory board.
All right.
Boeing commercial aircraft deliveries rise 7% on year.
Ooh, good year for Boeing. That's good. H.
GE taps China CEO to run Alstom's energy business.
Okay. Now, the one thing we can't do at this point is move by section in the newspaper. And we know that's dire important, and it will be coming. We're going to have an update out for this probably in the next 30 days. And that'll be there. We're also going to do some other things with favorites where you'll be able to, you know, select your favorite publications and then basically have those waiting for you when you open it up. So they'll automatically be downloaded, much like you can get your newspaper emailed to you, you know, every morning if you want. But this is it. And so if I want to read something right here, I just can hit F8.
GE taps China CEO to run Alstom's energy business. Mark Hutchinson to be replaced in China by Rachel Duan, by Kathy Chu. General Electric Company is appointing Mark Hutchinson to integrate the energy business it is acquiring from Alstom, say, putting GE's top China executive at the center of the conglomerate's plan to return to its industrial roots.
Okay. I hit control to stop speech. Now, we've got the magnification capability in here. Remember I told you at F12 on that main menu for magnification? Same thing here. So we could get this text to the size that we need. We can change our rate of speech with F11. And this is tracking, that it's highlighting as it's reading. You got a nice highlight bar around this text, so it's easy to track. And again, for training purposes, you folks who have some vision will love that because you can know where your clients are reading and what they're reading, if that speech is not always easy to
understand. Book options. Press 1 to continue reading this book.
So I pressed escape now is what I did, and that took us out of the newspaper, and that will stay downloaded, by the way, until we delete it. So if I was offline, because that's already been downloaded, I could just come in here and read it at any time, and it'll remember where we were, and we're left to
escape.
Right there.
Bookshelf menu. Press 1 to continue reading.
And so I'm just pressing escape now to go back.
Books and news menu. Escape. Main menu.
And here we go. For anybody who might be wondering, do you have to press escape all those times to go back to the main menu? What if you're like 9 levels in? You have to hit escape, 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 escape. And the the actual answer is no, we don't. We have a hidden keystroke. I don't even know that it's published, but it is there, and it's about three keys, and it takes you immediately back to the main menu. So that's nice. So for anybody who wants to know that, I can email that to you or tell you. Because right now, I'm not sure what it is. I think it's Alt-Control-Numpad-0. I think that's what it is. They made it difficult, but they did that on purpose because, you know, for most folks using this, that's not how you're going to want to do it. You know, you're going to want to go back and move slowly. But for folks like us who say, geez, can I just get back to the main menu? It's built in and we have a way to do that.
What if your computer doesn't have a numpad, though?
Good point. Then what? Then you got to plug in a keyboard.
Figure out your function key.
That's exactly right. Any other questions on Guide? That's the quick and dirty version of the demo. We didn't go through a ton of things, but I showed you the most relevant things for here. I think the browser and the bookshelf.
This is Jan. Are you looking at primarily people of retirement age to use this, or maybe some folks with traumatic brain injury? Is that?
You're hitting every group, Jan.
Okay.
That's perfect. This was built when we started as a program for seniors. That's where it started. But then we had how many thousands of returning veterans from Iraq and Afghanistan who are getting much younger and using this thing with traumatic brain injuries and other things. We have support for refreshable braille coming. And in combination with what we've got here in the bookshelf now, I do believe this is going to be a great tool for K-12 children who are just starting to learn how to read braille and starting to use a computer. Because we also have book sharing here too, so this is all relevant content for them, and I think we've got a new market there. But this is for anybody who, for whatever reason, cannot use their computer with a screen reader or a screen magnifier and Windows.
Jeff, this is Shane. I even use it with an individual that is pretty high functioning but is developmentally disabled.
Mm-hmm.
We tried just to do email, we couldn't even get that far. So this product worked really well. He emails me, how's your weekend? Did you like
Escape?
Did you like to watch your game? That kind of stuff.
Right.
So it's really given him a level of independence.
Good. Very good. We like to hear stories like that. And that's just it. You know, we have a fine line in here, because a lot of people ask us, well, can you do PowerPoint? Can you do Excel? No. We have a little checkbook app that actually works fairly well. But, we have to think of our user base and what they're using. And we want to add new features to this all the time. But again, we have to kind of keep the simple premise going.
So this is great. One of the questions that I'm sure I'm going to get from some of my clients is with some of the built-in applications like Newsline or web applications, being able to share the content that you're looking at on a social network.
Well, two things right there, because that question got brought up in a Newsline meeting last night, actually, and Scott said that because of the rules and the copyright for the publications that are in Newsline, they're pretty limited in scope on being able to share that information. So from a Newsline standpoint, I think we'll try to do what we can, but probably not a ton of sharing like that. From the web standpoint, with Facebook and Twitter and things like that, those sites should all be as accessible as they are with a screen reader in Guide as well. So you could go to the site, and do anything you wanted to that way.
Okay.
Does that answer your question?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, I kind of figured the last part with the sites working the same. I just wasn't sure with things like Newsline or any other news reader service being able to, hey, I just saw this link about this news story and, send it to your Facebook page or something like that.
Yeah.
Because I deal a lot with, like you were talking about, TBI and stuff like that, patients who are blind because of TBI or certain other things. So I get a lot of, the late teen into early retirement. People that are, in that Facebook era, maybe not Twitter, but in the Facebook era. So I thought it would be interesting to ask.
No, and it's a good question. It's actually a very good question, and I appreciate that. We're just, you know, slightly limited on what we can do,
yeah.
You know, as far as that goes. I loaded up Supernova, and I heard it speak, and now I don't have it, and I'm not sure why.
It's not my droid.
I know.
Access suite loaded. Task bar, list view start.
Okay, there we go.
Supernova control panel.
No, so just had a little delay here on the Windows 8 machine. I've had this thing a week. I'm still getting used to it, but so far it's worked fairly well. But I'm still new at Windows 8 for the most part.
A lot anyway. Of us still are.
That's right.
Yeah.
I know, kicking and screaming, right?
Right.
So here's the deal with Supernova. This is version 14.01. And I'm going to be brief as far as this goes because I want to have time to show you Easy Converter as well. But the big thing I want to tell you here is I have the access suite of Supernova on my machine. This is a full screen reader and a full screen magnifier all in one. Okay, and support for refreshable braille displays as well. You don't have to buy it like that, of course. We can start out with the magnifier at $395, the magnifier with speech at $595, and that's right on with the others out there. $795 for the screen reader, $1,195 for the access suite. Now, for traders, of course, access suite, totally the way to go, I believe. And again, like I mentioned, we provide that at an NFR copy if it comes down to that. That's not a problem. So, the beauty of this is a couple of things. How am I doing on time, Joe?
You've got about 14 minutes.
Oh, wow. Okay, so this has to be real fast. The nice thing about Supernova, a couple of things that I can tell you offhand, we highlight everything that we're reading. Remember, like I told you in Guide. So that's nice from the standpoint of a screen reader because we know some others out there still can't do that on the internet, for example. You don't know where we're reading. So if traders like highlight as you're moving through and know what's being read, we do that here in Supernova. A couple of other things, as far as Windows 8 is concerned, we don't have a different install for Windows 8 versus 7. It's the same one. We work very well with multiple monitors. We can do a presentation mode, so you've got all your magnification and things you want to do on one, but on the other it might be presentation style like on the projector, so that you don't do anything with that. We can span across from one to the other with content, so we do that well. And it's not just dual monitors, it's multiple that we work with in that regard. We support Office from 2000 to 2013, and that support, I think, is pretty good. So that's nice, because if you're doing Office and Internet Explorer, like most of us are doing in Windows, you should have no problem with that in Supernova. One other thing I want to mention to you on the web, that we have all the quick nav keys built in now, so your web experience here should be very similar to anything else out there, you know, as far as a screen reader goes. But one thing we have is something called an item finder, and you can use a keystroke to do this. It's caps lock tab, and what it does is it loads up all of what's available on the web page, and you can use your arrow keys to scroll down. So it might tell you 22 links, and then you arrow down 32 headings, 10 frames, 7 controls. So you can see this all in one shot. Now, granted, you know, with most things out there, you can get a list of the different controls one at a time, but you might not be able to do it all at once like this. This is a great way, from a training standpoint as well, for your clients to see how big the web page is and what they're dealing with right off the bat. And I like that. That's called the item finder in Supernova. Okay? We've got touchscreen magnification built into this, as I mentioned, in version 14. We also have the bookshelf capability here. So what I just did in Guide with Newsline, available in Supernova 2. And everything else from the bookshelf standpoint. So if you want Bookshare content and others, it's there. Another thing we can do here, and this is new too, is we can scan and read from Supernova. Electronic files, or if you have a scanner connected, we can use it. So that's nice. All you have to do is go over to the bookshelf tab on our main screen here and go down to scan and read and select that. Now, if you come across a PDF file on the internet, for example, you try to open it and it's an image file, we don't just say document empty. We actually offer, would you like to try to see if Supernova can OCR this and read it? Well, please. Yeah, that'd be nice. Try that. Might not always work perfectly, but it certainly works better than it has in the past, because in the past it didn't work at all. Okay, so it is there. So I definitely urge you to try this. I don't think I mentioned this before. You can get a 30-day demo of any of our products on our website, yourdolphin.com. You can download Supernova, Guide, Easy Converter, try it for 30 days uninterrupted, and see what you think. And if it's something that you decide you want, we give you an unlock code. You can do that within 24 hours, you're up and running. Don't have to worry about installing again or anything like that, and that's true across all our products. Okay? Let me load up Easy Converter. If anybody has a question while I'm doing that, feel free.
Taskbar, list view start. Supernova control panel.
And while he's doing this, let me also state that if you have any students who are international or in European countries, Middle Eastern countries, they're dual citizens or have dual languages, Supernova is extremely powerful in those situations. And that comes from them being a European company and having very much EU ties. I experienced that during the beta, and if any of you ever join the beta, be prepared to use Google Translate a lot.
When you use multi-monitors with the magnification, are you able to have different levels of magnification on different monitors?
I think so. You can do. I know that you can do like a presentation mode where you're magnifying on one and not on another. As far as different levels of mag on each one, I can't speak to it 100%, but I'm pretty sure.
Thanks.
You're welcome. All right, Easy Converter. I'm going to do the quick conversion for a time here. But I can just tell you right now, if this is something you see and you like, we can do a webinar at any point. So if you've got administrators you want to show this to or anybody else who's deciding on a purchase, we can do that at any time. Just call me and we'll set that webinar up. We've made some changes in Easy Converter in just the past couple of months. This thing used to be $1,400. Because, well, I know that, oh, a sigh. But the reason was because we convert to five different formats. So you can take, for example, PDF files, Word documents, HTML, legacy Kurzweil files, the KESI files, and others, and you can convert to Braille, large print, DAISY, MP3, audio, or plain text. So this is a great handy-dandy tool to have in rehab offices or rehab centers, anywhere where you have documents or your clients or students have materials that they need in some sort of alternative format. We've now reduced the price to $595. The reason we did that is because we teamed up with our Index Braille Embosser Master Distributor folks out in Oregon, IRE-AT. Anybody heard of those guys? Jeff Gardner. And we did not have a whole lot of K-12 folks using this at this point. This is really big in colleges and universities where textbook conversion is going on, but we're also growing in rehab agencies and centers as well. What we haven't been able to really tackle yet, just really because of lack of folks on the ground, I'm one person only, you know. We do have about 28 dealers, but we still needed a little more help in K-12. And these guys were the folks to help us out. But we also matched the Duxbury price. So we've now got a solution for Braille that might be a lot simpler to use than Duxbury, a whole lot less steps. I mean, not to slam those guys at all. I mean, they've been in it forever. They know how to produce Braille. But we feel we do too, and the nice thing about ours is you can do more than Braille. You can do four other formats as well. Well, let's do this. What I'm going to do is I'm going to convert a PDF right now, and we'll choose our format here in just a second. Now, there are ways to edit the file as we go through. We do OCR on the fly here as well. We've got OmniPage built in if it's a PDF, but you don't have to do it that way. You can edit your PDF files or any other files outside of Easy Converter, and then when you're ready to run it through and just arrive at the resulting alternative format, you can then open our product up and do it. However, if you want to edit in the converter process, we give you two chances to do that. If it's a PDF, you can do it in the OmniPage window itself, and that's where you're drawing zones around text and, you know, moving things around with the mouse. That's not accessible with the screen reader, but that's the only part that's not. The other place is in Word. Every conversion we do, we first convert to Microsoft Word. And the biggest reason we do that is because just about everybody who's doing all formats uses Word. That's where you can edit. That's where you can add headings around your nav points for DAISY. You can add alt text on images. And then, of course, you know, copy and paste, move your text around, whatever you want to do. So let me do now.
Open project, quick conversion.
A quick conversion. I'm just using tab to do this and pressing enter on what I want.
Conversion wizard. Choose your input document. Choose scan one or more pages to import a document from your scanner. Select open a document and browse to import a document from your...
All right, so you heard scan or open an electronic document. At this point, I'm going to open an electronic document, but we could scan at this point, too.
Select a Jeff documents, November 27, 2009.
Okay, this is just the path of where my document is, and it's basically a business test from a PDF.
Browse button.
If it's not that file that we want, of course, we can browse, and this is a standard dialog to move through and find your file. It could be anywhere on the network.
Settings button.
You just bring it in.
Next button.
Once you find your file, we go to next.
Choose your alternative format and destination. Alternative format. New output time. DTV, no audio. Pull down list box.
Okay, so this is a drop-down box now, and DTV, no audio is what we've got here. So I could actually, if I do this, we'll have a daisy book.
Choose a name for your conversion. Output name, business test questions, that area.
Okay, and that's just telling us our output name. I'm just tabbing through here.
Output folder, best test questions.
And here's our output folder. It just shows us where it's going to be. And by default, when you do conversions in Easy Converter, the output folder's under My Documents. And then there's a directory called Dolphin Easy Converter. Could that be any more difficult to find? But really, I'll tell you what. This is the sixth version of Easy Converter, and we have several updates since. And one of the big issues in the past was, what happened to my files that I converted? Where are they? So we've now tried to make this as easy as possible. For the last 5 years, we've had this wizard-based approach to move through here, almost like you're installing a piece of software. So it'll tell you where it's going.
Browse button.
Okay, and you can browse and move it if you want to.
Additional destinations. Copy. Settings button.
Then you can copy. So depending on the file, if it's Braille, you can send it directly to the embosser if you want to as part of the conversion process. So as soon as the file is converted, if your embosser is ready to go, just let it roll. If it's Daisy, if you got a Victor stream connected, you can transfer it immediately to the stream, your portable Daisy player if you want to. Other than that, you can keep it on the computer and look at it here.
Back button. Finish button.
That's it. For a quick conversion, there's two screens. So I'm going to
finish. Conversion in progress. Conversion.
Conversion's in process now, and this is going to take probably 60 seconds or so. It's a six-page PDF, but it brings the PDF in, it OCRs it, even whether it needs to or not. If it's image, of course, it would need to, but if it's text, it doesn't necessarily need to, but it doesn't know that until it's done. So essentially, what we're doing is we're converting this file now. It is going to convert it to Word still. We're just not going to see that because this is a quick conversion, but it does all of this in the background. When it's done, it actually tells us how long it took. So that's kind of nice if you're having to show this off to anybody. Well, look at this. I converted this file in 4 minutes and 38 seconds. And sometimes that can come in pretty handy. When we're done, what I'm going to do, the last thing, we'll view this in our Easy Reader. And that is Dolphin's accessible ebook player. That's how we play Daisy. Okay? And Easy Reader is another program. It comes with Easy Converter, but you can also buy it separately. So if you want a Daisy Reader for your training center, or if you know any schools that are looking for Daisy, it's very inexpensive and it works very well. And it's very simple to use. All right, we should be about done here. For some reason in Windows 8, this takes longer than Windows 7, and this laptop has 8 gigs of RAM. Gotta go back and scream at the development folks.
They just wanted you to get an SSD.
I think you're right. I want to get an SSD. Okay, so we heard a little chime. It's done. I press enter.
Dolphin Easy Converter. Quick conversion button.
Now I can hit View Output. Alt-V.
View Output button. Dolphin Easy Reader 604 build 100. Dolphin Easy Reader. No updates were downloaded. Okay button.
Okay, thank you so much.
Major field test and use citizenable
quest. No updates were downloaded. I was going to change this voice before I came in here, guys. This is... We did not create audio with our Daisy. So what we do is we rely on the speech synthesizer of the Daisy Reader. And as you guys know, like the Stream, the BookSense, all the hardware players have their own synthesizers, and so does GH and FS Reader and, you know, all of these. But in this case, this is Real Speak Tom here as well. So I'm sorry this voice is going to change.
Major field test and business sample questions. The following questions illustrate the range of the test in terms of the abilities measured, the disciplines covered, and the difficulty of the questions posed.
Now, in the last 1 minute, let me just tell you the power of this thing. So this is a DAISY file now. So when we play it, it's being highlighted on the screen. I can change the size of the text. I can change the color background as well. And I can navigate through here. Now, at this point, I don't have very many nav points built into this thing. But wouldn't it be nice, if we would have had a little more time, to put headings around a few of these questions? Because that's what a student's going to want to do, right? Or a client taking a test anywhere. You want to move by question. And that's the power of DAISY for what you can do. So if you get down to question 24, using our arrow keys and just moving by heading to do that, but you say you want to go back to question 4 because you're not sure of your answer, it's very easy then in the DAISY format to go back and do that. From a textbook standpoint, if you convert this properly, you can type in the page number you want. Remember the old cassette tapes where you had to go to tape 4, side 3, middle of the tape, boop, boop, beep, beep, to get to what you wanted. Now you type in, Control G, 89, enter, and you're on page 89. It's beautiful, and we can do that with Easy Converter.
Jeff, thank you so much for coming tonight.
Thank you, guys. Send me an email or give me a call if I can help you further, and if we can show you these products anymore, come see us in C31. Thank you, Jeff.
Toss out your contact info real quick, sir.
Oh, Jeff.Baser.
How do you spell Baser?
Good point. Be like boy, A-Z-E-R, at yourdolphin.com. Phone number is area code 609-902-5963.
Your Dolphin.
Your Dolphin.
YourDolphinUSA.com. We're changing our URL there, but that's it. YourDolphin.com.
Thank you, my friend. I appreciate it. Like I said, I've known Jeff a long time, and I've known these products a long time, and we've actually had them at the Division of Blind Services in Texas when I worked there. It was something that we found to be very helpful when having to produce a bunch of docs for our internal training courses all at one time. So it was really good if you knew that you had to have this many of this and this many of that and this many for this electronic and so on and so on and so forth. So definitely, like I said, something worth looking at. Okay, Ms. Kaufman, what do we have next on the
panel
agenda?
Panel of Technology Trainers. This is Chip, and it does not say who all of them are.
Did anybody volunteer?
I can introduce these guys.
Okay, go for it. Janine, you want to come to the front?
Sure.
Okay.
Hi, I'm Janine Lineback, and I'd like to introduce Chip Johnson, who is the technology coordinator at the Colorado Center for the Blind, and Jack Mendez is also the technology coordinator at the Louisiana Center for the Blind. They're going to talk to us tonight about how our NFB training centers go about assessing and evaluating students when they come in for training to see what their technology needs are. And I'm not going to do a whole lot of panel administration. I'm going to go ahead and pass the mic to Chip and let him talk with us a little bit about his program at the Colorado Center and what they do there. And then we'll pass it to Jack and let him do the same. And then we'll take questions. Seems the most straightforward process.
Great. Good evening, and thanks for the opportunity to be on this panel tonight. You know, as I'm sure all of you do in the various programs that you have, you know, it's so important to be able to figure out what students' skills are. And so, you know, coming up with ways to assess that is very important. So what we do is we have an assessment that we use, and we're kind of in the process of changing it just because everything changes. We use a 1-5 scale, and it's in process as well. Basically, it goes anywhere from the low end of they don't know anything about a particular, say, copy and paste. They know nothing about it, or superior knowledge. And so we go through with them, talk to them, try to assess what they know. As I'm sure you guys know, when you do an initial evaluation, it's just that. It's an initial evaluation. And so you're doing the best you can to try to figure out where they are. We don't want to jump in to an area where, say, assume that they know too much and just start going, and then you have to go back. On the other hand, you don't want to start too early in the process, and you know, maybe they already know something. So asking a lot of questions, I think, is important. Trying to determine, have they had training, some kind of training before? What kind of training did they get? We get students a lot of times that they are just brand new to the whole blindness training area. So they may not know anything. And as you know, at the NFB centers, we use sleep shades. So even if someone is, they have some knowledge of a program with their vision, it's a totally different ball game under sleep shades. And so, yes, they may be able to use some of that knowledge from before, but really, they're starting from square one. So it just depends on where they are. So we go through this assessment, and then we start them out kind of where we think they need to be. Now, I find many students don't know the whole keyboard when they start. A lot seem to know the QWERTY keys. They may know the number pad. Many, I find, don't know numbers and punctuation, things like that. So I find we end up starting there a lot. We may not even start at the beginning. We may jump in the middle and then go from there. Because I don't want to have a student spend a whole lot of time doing something that they already know. I'd like to move them forward. But sometimes you find out, you know, you may make a judgment. You may say, you know, in your evaluation, you say, yes, they know this. And then you, as you work with them, you kind of find out, oh, well, maybe we need to go back a little bit. And I'm sure that you guys have found that as well. I think just realizing that, and you know, our programs at the NFB centers are 6 to 9 months, so that makes a difference because you have a little bit more time. And I'm sure some of you guys, maybe you have shorter programs, and so you know, you may have to do things a little bit differently, and you don't have that amount of time to go back. So you know, I think it's important. I mentioned that we're making changes to our assessment, and those are things like incorporating, you know, formally incorporating in our assessment eye devices, and you know, switching things around a little bit. Note takers, you know, getting more specifically into note takers. We've always taught those things, but just incorporating those into our assessment so that we can, when we send these to a VR counselor, then they have a better idea of exactly what that student knows.
Do you tailor that to the vocational goal, or is that a general assessment?
It's a general assessment.
Jen, did you ever come?
I just wanted him to say it on the mic. So
we're going to move back and forth as best we can, but the question was, is that a vocational goal-driven or a general assessment? Because sometimes that might influence the way you might actually look at someone. If someone wants to be an astronaut, then okay, then numbers is going to be a problem, right? So looking at that in a general assessment is important for a counselor, but the counselor is now thinking of a vocational goal, so
right.
That's something of interest.
Well, certainly, yeah, we have a general assessment that we use, but certainly with the students, we tailor... And we're in communication with the counselors. We have regular staffings with the counselors. So we're also working with the student in terms of what they're going to be doing. And then as their program goes on, then you know, we're focusing more into that area. So I'm going to pass the mic over here to Jeff.
Good evening, guys. So thank you for allowing me the opportunity to talk to you guys. So at Louisiana Center, we use a slightly different process for evaluation. A lot of the characteristics of the students that Chip described here, we also observe at our center, the way that we approach evaluation is we take the student on discover learning through the computer. So we sit them down pretty much day one on the computer, regardless of their skill level, and we get them to become familiar with the keyboard by exploring. As Chip mentioned, some students will come in and demonstrate fluency with the keyboard, typing and knowledge of where accelerator keys are, etc. And then we'll move on from there to work with them. We tend to target computer skills toward vocational goals. So I have students who are, a couple students right now who want to go for their MBA. So we're focusing on pretty advanced Excel work, doing lots of work with PowerPoint and working with projectors. Working with those and connecting those to systems, stuff like that. Once the student is proficient with the basics of computers, so browsing the web, checking email, all those basic activities, and we document their process, the best way to talk about that would be outcome-based. So if they are able to complete a variety of assignments that demonstrate their knowledge, then we will assume they have those skill sets because we observe them while they're doing activities. So we take students from, you know, our typing, if they need typing lessons, we make sure that they type at least 25 words per minute with a 95% accuracy rating. And then once they move on from there, we get into course basics.
Do both of your centers use a typing program, a self-voiced typing program, and if so, what do you use?
So for the purpose of recording, the question from Jan is, do both of the programs use a typing program of sorts, and if so, what is it? Chip, do you want to answer and then
sure,
pass it
and
on?
I'll pass it to Jan. We're still using the Talking Typing Teacher program. I've heard good things also about typability. I think some other folks have used that. So I think that those programs are nice because they do offer a structured way for them to start at one point. And you can jump in wherever you need to start and then, you know, move through. So I'm passing this over to Jack.
Okay, actually, we use typability. And we find that it teaches slightly better. People seem to respond to the tutorials slightly better. I found that people with Talking Typing Teacher or Talking Typer would wander off a little bit more and kind of get bored. For some reason, Typability seems to be a better tutorial.
It's very humorous.
It is. So I also find that people with typability are able to better gauge their own progress because at the end of each lesson, the program provides feedback about their progress with that lesson. So that's probably the reason. With the others, you had to go in and look at a report, and it was kind of a little more nebulous, I think.
So I have a question for you guys. What about if someone is interested in working with a Mac? Do you guys provide training on Macs at the center? And if so, do you have a typing program that you might use with the Mac?
We do provide Mac training. We don't right now have a specific typing program that we use with the Mac, but we do provide training with Mac and VoiceOver and Pages, numbers, and those sorts of things.
I'm going to get in trouble here, but we don't provide Mac training. And here's the reason. 99% of the blind people that I have seen buy Mac, ultimately buy Windows and install it in one word. So at that point, you've got a really expensive PC. And in terms of, you know, productivity, last year, 35,000 colleges and universities throughout the world purchased Office and are running Office. Those native apps are not working on the Mac.
That's true.
Until they do, our center won't be providing training. If the student wants to, Sure, you can go out, buy a Mac, I'll help you with, you know, OS X, I'll get the install, provide that skill set there. But we exist to provide vocational training. And so at that point, we have to look at it and say, where are the students going to be? You know, why are we here? Are we training for them to have fun, or are we training them to go get a job? And the point is, the PCs are going to be in the enterprise at the moment.
I have a comment as well.
So if they are going into something like, this is Nancy Coffin, if they're going into something like maybe web design, graphic design,
music,
certain arts, then do you train on that?
If their vocational goal is to be a recording artist, absolutely. Web design, graphic design, skill PC, because coding, integrated development environments, access to the PowerShell interface, that sort of stuff, still superior on the Windows side. And we ultimately have to look at where is the student going to achieve the most productivity with the least amount of barriers, and that includes support. Because if you think about VoiceOver and the Mac, it's still kind of, even among us blind folks, still in the workplace a difficult thing to get support for.
Yep.
So we have to look at those things.
Do you have a form or anything that you, a checklist, you go through and you put down, say, the typing speed,
a matrix,
check off the JAWS command, or the...
Okay, so like I said, for our center, we have outcome-based training. So, yes, in our reports, we do say the student did achieve, for instance, the typing speed. You know, we will detail what their maximum speed was and their accuracy rating over time. But with JAWS and those type of commands, I'm actually beginning to start my students switching for those who can deal with that switching screen readers. So at our center, we have a JAWS, WindowEyes, and NVIDIA on all of our systems. So I will have the students that will tolerate it switch screen readers throughout the process, because even though, you know, we want to stick with one, maybe, we have situations where one screen reader will perform better.
Yep.
Work better for a given environment. We also have our students speed up their synthesizer for those that will handle it once per week, because just like our Braille readers, we need to have our students be able to listen to the screen reader at a faster and faster rate. If we don't accelerate this, to be competitive, you've got to be quick on the computer. You have to. We have to, you know, speech is a linear process. You've got to listen to all of the text, really, pretty much. You can jump around by headings and use linked lists and go and jump by pages, but ultimately, it's still a linear process. So the faster you can make your speech, the faster you get through that information. So that's kind of where we're at there with the screen readers. Here you go, Chip.
Okay.
Chip back on.
I wanted to make a comment just briefly, going back to the Mac. We, as I said, we do teach Mac, but I see similar things at our center, as what Jack was saying, in that the vast majority of our students are still working with JAWS and the PC. You know, the Mac is great in a lot of ways, but I think that there's this idea, you know, it's and I've seen it with students, that it's a new thing, you know, it's a thing that's very accessible and everybody thinks it's going to be the answer. And it can be, but it isn't necessarily the answer. And so I think we really have to talk to our students and really get into what are they going to be doing and is it really going to be the best solution for them? You know, I think it's great that they want to learn it, but is it what's going to be best?
Once again, that's just a portion of the audio. The panel did go on for a little bit longer, and I think it's really interesting to get that kind of feedback from what's going on in the field. Being a former rehab person myself, it is always fascinating to hear how fast technology changes and what it's like. If we as normal people can't keep up with technology, what is it like for those who have to train those on that technology to be employed?
is really, really a conundrum, and I think it's very interesting. And the conversations continue over at the ANFB AT Trainers Division Board. Well, thank you for listening. And if you want to join or if you want to know more about the organization, be sure to hit the show notes. Otherwise, we'll see you next year at the ANFB AT Trainers Division meeting on SPN.